Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Grey Leopard Code with Gary Norris Gray. Gary will be coming to you each Saturday, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, talking sports live on GLC.
Were you ever taught when you were young? If you mess with things selfishly, they're bound to come undone. I'm not the only one. Affected and resented every story of pain. We're not pawns in your game. Commander-in-chief, honestly. If I did the things you do, I could. Taught when we were young.
Congresswoman, other country with a terrorist. What's wrong with you? And the minority party allows that to happen. Its leader, Mr. McCarthy, says nothing. Did not discipline this person. And that's what I mean. America loses by losing. Here we are, 2021, and these fools are looking at 2022 already. Ladies and gentlemen, we got work to do. We got serious work to do. It's 1968 all over again. This time, see, the difference between this, this time they won't assassinate you because they know that it looks bad. This time, they'll politically mudrake you. Yeah, they'll get some old video of 20 years ago when you were a teenager or something and put on Facebook. This is gonna happen. But these guys need to go. McCarthy needs to go. Marjorie Taylor Greene needs to go. Because when you divide science, when you divide numbers, what these girls, ladies are doing, and then identify it. Time for you to go. Facts don't lie. When you wear a mask, when you take the booster, you are more defensive against COVID-19. Don't tell Marjorie Taylor Greene that. Don't tell her that. Bobart, that. They don't want to hear it. Because it goes against their political wishes. I'll be back after we give a salute to my Salukis. Salukis are playing North Dakota State today. And they're taking on the chin right now. Defense has to stop the North Dakota State Bison offense, which scored an average of 30 points a game. So it's going to be a task for the maroon and white today, stopping the green and gold of the Bison. We'll see. Before we get off the air, we'll get a final score. Before we get off the air, we'll get a final score. Okay. Let's get off with this. There we go. The Bears, the other Bears, the better Bears. I was at the Cowboys of Oklahoma State 21-16. My last defensive play of the game. The Cowboys were at the 1 yard line with time running out. The old Saluki rival, Northern Illinois Huskies, beat the Kent State. The Kent State today for their fifth MAC title, 42-23. So congratulations to our rival, Northern Illinois Huskies, and they move on to the playoffs. Division 2, the Bowie State Bulldogs, try very hard against Valor State. The Blazers win against the Bulldogs in Georgia, 41-17. Last night, it wasn't even close. Last night, the Oregon Ducks did not show up, and the Utah Utes made sure it counted, as the Utah Utes had a 21-0 lead before Oregon. He was gone. So congratulations to Utah, and so far, it'd be Upset City. So far, and the big game is on right now with Houston against Cincinnati. If Houston wins today, all bets are up. We got to throw the Bears guys out of the playoffs, which is what most people want. They don't want to see the Bearcats in the league. And last time, a small school has won was the 1984 with BYU, the Brigham Young University, won the national title. Everybody was upset. And the NCAA made sure that didn't happen again. News of the week. Let me get right into that real quick before we get that stuff. The college coaching carousel began, and without African Americans. Once again, the wealth gap increases as Caucasian coaches get millions of dollars, and where are the black coaches at? Notre Dame hired one of their defensive coordinators, which is African, which is a change, but of course, we'll see. Oklahoma head coach Lincoln Riley will be going to USC to talk about with USC buying the house. Nobody says a word. Texas Rangers side, Blue Jays for that. Marcus Simeon for a 7-year deal, another Oakland A. New York Mets have lost their minds. Yeah, I said it. Lost their minds with Max Scherzer with a 7-year give a message. And last year, this bastard said, yeah, they tell a bunch of girls, I don't trust anybody who wears a Washington National baseball jersey. And bastard didn't wear one, remember that? Blue Jays steel starter from San Francisco Giants, Kevin Gausman, will be at the age, and the Giants knew at the end of the season that they could not sign all of their players. So they lose Kevin Gausman goes north of the border to Toronto. And last year was a classic baseball race between the Giants and Dodgers. Classic. The Giants win the West Division 107-106 and wore out the Dodgers. Wore the Dodgers out. And if this race had been on the East Coast or the Midwest, they'd be still talking about this race. But because it was on the West Coast, everybody in bed sleeping, people forget about this race. And I believe it made it easier for the Atlanta Braves to beat the Dodgers in the NCL League Champions NLC because the Dodgers retired. Sad day for African American sports. And Lee Elder, the first man to play the Badgers, passed away at 87 years old. Last year, they gave him an honor to come back with the other elders, but he could not take a swing because of his emphysema. Great man, great hero, Lee Elder. When he played the Badgers, he had to go outside the city to get dressed, to get ready for the game. But other guys were right next door to the course. So he had an hour drive to get to the course. But that's the way it was. America wants to go back to that again. I don't. Anyway, as of the Lee Elder, as he ascends to the elders, we move on. Now the Cowboys will miss head coach McCarthy due to COVID-19. Did not go to the Saints game. Cowboys won. Riley, as he just talked about the wealth, Coach Riley from bringing most of his Oklahoma staff to USC next college season. And I don't think this is right or fair. And they're allowed to do this. When a coach leaves a university, that should be it. Cut ties immediately. The Notre Dame has done that. Congratulations, Notre Dame. It was a shock that went to the NCAA world as Brian Kelly moves on from Notre Dame to LSU. And you know what? There's a video of Kelly trying to be a Southerner. Now stop it. We know where you came from. You're a Northerner. You did 12 years at Notre Dame. Stop it with his other accent. Kelly has not won a national title in South Bend. After 12 years of 112 victories, he needed to get a national title at Baton Rouge. We'll see. Why is Super Bowl government after the 5-star general season with a 17-15 victory over Seattle Monday night? Russell Wilson could not get it going. And this is the first losing season for number 3. And this is going to be the end of the Pete Carroll era or the Russell Wilson era. We'll see what the Seahawks are going to decide. But this organization is in transition right now. This organization needs a change. This organization lost too many players the last 2-3 years. Russell Wilson cannot do it by himself. He cannot do this by himself. And this year proves the point. If Russell Wilson was out 3 games, they didn't do diddly squat. Tuesday, Woods was questioning of the accident off limits. He began to swing the golf club again, but I don't think Tiger Woods will ever be Tiger Woods of the past. We have seen history go by, so end of an era. The Tiger Woods era is over. It's interesting. The Russell Wilson era, the Tiger Woods era, and the Serena Williams era all at the same time. Interesting. I'll do an article on that. My ass will become a Detroit Tiger. The Warriors-Suns game on Tuesday was the most watched NBA game in 2.5 years. The Suns beat the Warriors on Tuesday night. Wednesday, Candace Parker, head coach Julia Auriemma, went toe-to-toe. Parker said, don't waste my time with the Team USA. The committee once again closed the team with Lady Huskies. And Candace Parker has enough is enough. You have all these all-stars all over the country. And you keep picking UConn Huskies. And he blames Gino Auriemma for that. WTA has been all games in China and Hong Kong. And do they get answers for the feng shui? The health issues, where is he? What is he doing? Is he still alive? Or is he in jail? For her comments about being assaulted by a government official. China's answer is, mind your business. It's going to cost China and Hong Kong $1 million for the tournament games being pulled out of China and out of Hong Kong. Chicago is mourning on Wednesday, was mourning the passing of Lamar Hoyton, star Zion Award winner for the Chicago White Sox. He will be dearly missed. Thursday is the baseball lockout. We all knew this is coming. The first stop is in 1994-95. available here. You are struggling, being a voice team in the major sports, and you boys got like this. More people are going to turn baseball off, and America Bad Guy will be just that bad time. Remember, the National Hockey League never recovered from their strike years ago. If baseball does it, if any games are missed in 2022, baseball is done. Marcus Freeman becomes the head coach of Notre Dame. And I hope they treat him better than they treated Ty William 20 years ago. I think they will because he's one of their own. He is the defensive coordinator of the Mighty Irish. We'll see how that goes. Colorado State fires Steve Alzado after two seasons with the Rams, only winning four games. At the end of the game, Brandon Lemieux gets 5-game suspension for fighting Iowa Senator Brad the Chuck. Now, look. I know it's a physical game, because I play wheelchair hockey. Okay? I know it's a physical game. What are you doing biting somebody? I mean, what are you doing? I mean, here's the hypocrisy here. The NFL fired, NFL suspended Aaron Rodgers one game for the COVID-19 protocol, right? The NFL this week suspended three players. Three games for the same offense for Aaron Rodgers. Excuse me. What are you doing? If Aaron Rodgers got one game, you think these three players to get one game too? But they got three, and one of those players are Antonio Brown. NFL has got some explaining to do again. We got Dr. Evil now. I know he got something to say about this.
Excuse me, I'm still biting people.
Yes, sir.
Oh man, Gary, you know we already know there's a star system in place. The Aaron Rodgers penalty was proof of that. It didn't change the fact that he's still a lying-ass liar. It does change the fact, though, that if you're the star quarterback as opposed to maybe a wide receiver or running back or an offensive or defensive lineman, there's limits.
But and Michael, made it Michael, cool. Michael, nobody – you know what got me upset about this?
What?
Nobody said a word. It was like, okay, we can go on.
Well,
of course
they didn't say a word. Guy, there's business to be taken care of. If there's something like to say, there's a payroll that must be met. You know, you got the NFL and you got their designated beat writers working for them. When are you going to get supposedly objective journalism from the NFL? You know that ain't happened in a long time. So they're doing exactly what they're trying to do, protect the cash. And when they protect the cash, they're not going to tell the truth. Now, I know in the Thanksgiving games, they jumped on Amari Cooper because apparently he didn't vaccinate. So he got time. I don't know who the other two are that you're mentioning, but I know he was one.
Antonio Brown, one of them.
Okay, Antonio Brown was one.
And Mark Cooper, I can't buy the third person.
Well, might be a reason why. All I'm saying here is they have cashed in their money big time. They get more money than he could have ever imagined. You know, for whatever opposition may have been put up to supposedly gambling for the good of the game, all that bullshit. They read them on that. We need to get started because that's the truth. Think about all the decades where people's lives were made worthless by the specter of so-called gambling.
I want to hear me clearly.
Okay.
This week, I saw two more gambling football websites.
Okay.
Two more.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, you got FanDuel, DraftKings.
Yep.
And now you have the football Fox Network Gambling Nation. You have the Gold Diggers. What are you doing?
Damn. Well, you also have Caesars. They've been putting out a whole bunch of commercials lately. They're trying to catch up. And, of course, nowadays, you don't have to go to Caesars. All you got to do is get the app, you know. And everybody and their mama, and you just got a computer, so you know apps are available with the click of a mouse.
Yep.
It doesn't take any long. It doesn't take any long amount of time to get you caught up. And that's what the NFL is treading water with, because they know. They say what they want, and they'll say who is connected with what they want. If they really got to the heart of the matter, there would be a whole lot of litigation going on and a lot less dick dastardly doings and stuff.
Well, that leads me to another question, okay? You've been following football for the last 30 years, right?
At least. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Now, Michael, I want you to tell me honestly about it. Do you think 30 years ago this is going on behind closed doors?
Oh yeah, you kidding? The owners. The only difference is between the owners is because it's like when the mafia talks that shit about men of honor. They're killing people left and right with the same kind of hypocrisy. The owners are talking on this shit. But really, they want to be gangsters, you know. Oh yeah, we control all this and stuff like that, because it's true. In the NFL, your talent does not guarantee you a job. You could be the best bad boy at whatever position ever, but if you kick somebody off, you ain't getting no run. You know that. We saw that with black quarterbacks coming out of college, changing positions, not because they felt they would allow them job security. They were told, you change positions, otherwise you don't fucking play. And if it wasn't for Canada, some of them did go to Canada and said, screw you. But the bottom line is, they control this. You always talk about power and control. Well, that's what this is.
There it is. There it is.
Yeah.
Michael, I want to skip over to the NHL for a quick second here.
Yes, sir.
The Phoenix Coyotes are up for sale. I've been watching this dream for about a week and a half.
Mm-hmm.
The Phoenix Coyotes might be sold to a group in Houston, Texas.
Yeah.
Now, there's a rumor going around that the Coyotes are moving to Texas.
Mm-hmm.
If that happens, I think what we could see is, remember the old division, the old NHL division where they had 4-4-4-4-4?
Yeah.
I think if the Coyotes go to Houston, I think they're going to do.
That's
because they have 4-4-4 division coming back up again.
Yeah, that's possible. But remember, Houston has a pedigree with this. They were the Houston Aeros that had Gordie Howe and his two sons, Mark and Marty, playing with him, and they won a title. God knows how long that was ago, because I'm scratching my head.
Early 80s.
something like that. It had to be because WHA was coming and they were getting enfolded into the NHL. So it had to be during that time. But the long story short is that, you know, they've had hockey teams there before and they even had a hockey team that won before. So if they really go to Houston, then the Coyotes, well, I don't know, they'll probably change their name to the Houston whatever.
What did they just build a brand new arena for the Coyotes?
Well, no. now that I'm sitting back trying to remember, I don't think there was another franchise based other than the Arrows, but they've had minor league teams in San Antonio and other places in Texas. So it's not like hockey's foreign to them or anything like that.
Didn't the Arizona people build a brand new arena down in Arizona?
I'm not sure. I know they had the Phoenix Roadrunners. And if they did build it, I don't think it made NHL specs because they would have spoke up immediately, you know. And the fact that they didn't was, to answer your question, like the place probably wasn't big enough. Remember, we're going to take that in.
That's why it'd be more fun by that team because you're going to move out of there.
No, that's right. But remember, Winnipeg barely made it. You know, if it wasn't for the fact that Winnipeg had so many rabid fans who wanted hockey back, they never would have made it. You know, so they made sure in that stadium that everybody was hanging from the damn rafters, sitting down waiting back hockey.
Yeah.
Well, it was true. And, you know, now that they're back, you know, the Jets are, I won't say stabilized, but they sure are in a lot better shape than they were before they didn't have them.
I was the San Jose Sharks against the New York Rangers last night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, watch out. The Sharks are no longer a company.
Yeah, no, they're in bad shape, Jing. And... When Evania comes back, because his 21-game suspension. Yes, he's in the Barracudas now, but he's only there for getting shape. You know, when San Jose signed him, they didn't know what to think of him, and then he started scoring goals. And he didn't stop scoring goals. So I stopped scoring goals. And he got rewarded with a 7-year, $49 million contract. Now, this would be the third season of that contract. So regardless of whatever has happened, if he steps on the ice again as a San Jose Shark, he's getting $7 million a year. And
well, I need to wear another sweater by the end of this year.
Oh, I agree. I think he's going to be traded. But, you know, since you brought up the NHL, I want to take it on a positive tip and give recognition to the Gold Brothers who have been shining during the month of November.
Yes.
And as tradition holds up, we have three stars. Our third star is a defenseman who plays with the New York Rangers, a young man named Condre Miller.
He played very well last night.
He's definitely solid, stay-at-home. He's got only... two goals, I think, and about two or three assists. But what he's done is he stabilized the Ranger decor. You know, they've only had like a couple of shootout type games. He holds his ground well. Obviously, he can skate, and he's got a plus rating on plus minus. So that means he's doing what he's supposed to be doing when they're on the ice scoring. So Kendrick Miller, number 79 in your program. Much love to you, brother. You're our third star. Our second star is from Canada, and he plays defense as well. Apparently, nobody knew what to make of him, but now he is coming to his own as a solid defenseman. His name is Oliver Shillington, and he plays for the Calgary Flames. Mr. Shillington, number 58 in your program, has three goals, 10 assists, a plus 14 rating. So, again, they're doing very well. And Calgary is doing very well overall. Calgary's played.
Calgary is in first place of Western Conference. So, yeah, they're doing very well.
Well, you know, they're coached by Sutter. And we know there's like 80 million Sutters in the Hockey League there. But, you know, one thing the Sutters,
yes,
one thing the Sutters all
fan.
Do.
They got Sutter fans.
Exactly. But one thing all the Sutters do is they're about discipline. So Shillington is the kind of player. He's where he's supposed to be. He has shown flashes, and he reminds me of Johnny Oduya as a defenseman who can jump into the situation and score. You know, he's he's Swedish. And European skaters they skate. Let's put it that way. Let's be real about that. European skaters skate their asses off. And he's one of those cats that can do that. He's playing well. And all we can say is keep it up, Oliver. We like that. So Oliver Shillington, number 58 of the Calgary Flames, which brings us to our first star. And this is a guy I've had mixed emotions with, but mostly good for all the time he's been here. He came up with the New York Rangers. And he took some personal flack and kept on going. And now he's a valued member of the Florida Panthers who signed him as a free agent. His name is Anthony Duclair. He has 9 goals, 8 assists in this brief time up. He's been moved from the first line to the second line to the third line. And Duclair's stock and trade since he's been in the league is his speed. Duclair can skate his ass off. And because he is fast, he has started to learn how to use that speed to his advantage. He he was featured on the main line with Huberto and Sam Bennett. But his saving grace was the fact that when he played with the Columbus Blue Jackets, his coach, that asshole Tortorella, said, he can't play. And ironically, the same time he couldn't play, Duclair went on a goal-scoring streak, and he made the All-Star team, scored 22 goals, and paid his ass back the way you should pay back while playing for Ottawa. He scores a hat trick against Columbus. Gains the first star and shuts Tortorella up, at least for a little while. But as of right now, as we are wondering, who's going to be the next Jerome McGinley in terms of a consistent scorer? You know, something about Duclair may route people the wrong way, but he scores goals. And you can't fix that. Or in other words, you can't enhance that somewhere. You can't teach somebody how to score a goal. They either can or can't. And Duclair apparently can. So I want to see more consistency from him, but he played well enough to get first star this month. So Anthony Duclair, number 10, the Florida Panthers, you earned the first star.
All right. Malcolm Zuba got traded this week from Chicago to Buffalo. I think that's a very, very good, trade because I think he needs to get playing time. He was not going to get playing time in Chicago.
Well, you know what it is, G. When you come out, and see, this was another reason why the Vegas Knights were so significant. Subban was the backup goalie for the Vegas Knights. And he played, and he did well that first year there. He didn't play, I think it was like 9-3. But the long and short of it was he was holding things up so much so that when he did make stops, they would go, so they were in it, and they were behind him as part of the team. Now, obviously, he lost that spot as he was moved to Chicago, and he was the backup, ironically, for Marc-Andre Fleury, the same guy he was backing up in Vegas. But they made that move, and now Buffalo, who I think the guy, the starting goaltender is Gradowski, but
They've got two goalies hurt. That's why they've got two.
But see, I think Subban will end up getting the second spot. And once you get that, you get time. You can't do anything about ice time. You either earn it or You know, yeah. Opportunity gives it to you. So I hope that Subban will get more time because Buffalo's situation goal-wise is...
It's terrible right now.
And I was going to say tenuous, but you said terrible, so we'll go with terrible. And sometimes you need
that's
bad. That's bad. And the goaltender that they did have, Lena Solmark, he moved to Boston. So
they
had a goaltender, but he's gone. And now?
I was BK Subban doing a jersey. I haven't seen him.
BK's been nondescript almost. He's been getting ice time, but not a lot of time. Or let's say time that we would expect him to get. They are moving on in that regard from him. But his moves and his play, I don't know if they're stabilized or not. I think he's only like a -2 or anything like that. But that's because the Devils didn't score that.
Is it because you're older now?
I'm glad you asked. But this is a change of scenery thing. He signs a big contract with the Devils, and they were hoping that he would fit into the New York, New Jersey Islands dynamic. But it didn't work out that way. And then, of course, when they played the game against the Rangers, they tried to say he slew-foot Brian Reeves. I mean, and that one, Reeves had just come to the Rangers. So they had taken him out for a few games. So now they're all like, oh, what the fuck is going on? And Subban, they were making him a target. Now
I was right. Reeves doing for the Rangers.
Reeves provides muscle for them, but nobody's had to go that route. And let's be real, Reeves is not a goon. I mean, he can play because to have somebody on as a fighter now would be a luxury, you know. When he was with Vegas, Ryan Reeves played fourth line steady, but he also had goals and assists and whatnot. He put valuable play time in, so he wasn't useless. You put him on a line, if you put him on the top line, would he score goals? Yeah, he would. That's the bigger question, G. Because when they relegate ice time, all right, you got your centers. You know you need at least three decent centers, and somebody who can fluctuate on your fourth line. So if you're 9 deep, you're a really strong team because that means you have 3 lines that you know anytime on the ice they can score. A fourth line normally is a checking line and a bunch of guys that will muck and knock people upside the head and things like that. You know, But there's no requirement as them being scorers. If anything, they're supposed to knock the shit out of the scorers on the other side. So we know that's not a luxury that's afforded to a poor team. You have to have a successful one. And
if I am the commissioner of the NYC League, if you fight somebody on the ice...
I drew the line with putting the fans on somebody.
You're out of the year. You're gone.
You can't be biting motherfuckers and shit. Yeah,
that's serious.
I'm with you on that. But the NHL can kind of like quickly overlook that as they move on to the next thing. They're riding a crest of success right now that they haven't experienced in years. So they're going to keep on doing what they're doing, hopefully, so that everybody else can pick up how great the game is. And just like we were saying before about baseball, we ended up talking about in our last show, we ended up talking about who would be on our Hall of Fame ballot. And that's the first... Although we have things because Tony's great on baseball, we get his insight.
Yeah.
That's the first real conversation that we've had across the board about baseball. You know, who would be on our ballots and stuff.
Baseball keeps shooting itself in the foot. I'll tell you, I'll be honest about this.
Yeah.
If this strike goes to the summer, it's over. Baseball is done. They're done. Because they have the lowest TV ratings.
Yeah, I know.
All of the sports world has the lowest TV ratings. There's a reason for that.
Yeah. So why would you entertain a job action when you know you're on shaky ground and the last thing you want to show is that you're shaky?
This is one of the stupidest movies I've seen in my day. This is stupidity.
It's greed, Gary. It's greed. Because the baseball union, out of all the unions in the major sports, is the strongest union.
Yes.
And their people can ask for more and get more. But the biggest difference now is that when they asked in the past, everybody had to capitulate to some degree because it was the grand old game, the national pastime, all that horse shit. Now, they can't say that. You know, they are fourth in a three-horse race, and there's no way they're going to pass anybody. So what are they going to do?
Look, I said this in an article three years ago. You had to clean up your house. What I mean is this. Number one, speed the game up. Number two, stop the forces on the mound.
Number
three, you have rules. Enforce the rules. They don't want. If you are not cheating in baseball, you ain't winning. And that's a complete ridiculous.
Yeah, but gee, how are you going to tell somebody that what they're doing is wrong when they've always thought it was right? When people told them it was right? When they were supported with folks in the stands saying, you're right. Don't change anything. But now, football ran by their ass. Basketball has dribbled by their ass. And I can get my ass. So, after that, ain't nothing but ass. And there you go. They're sniffing the asses of all the three major sports aside from them. And nobody has no real solution as to what they can do to fix it. You know? It's not even about adding any flavor to the game because they corrupted the Negro League's efforts, stifling them, and then saying, oh, welcome, you, all you Negroes, welcome back. You know, we need you now, so we'll take your fake statistics and all the other stuff that they, you know, derided back in the past. But that's where it's at, G. They're grasping the club.
You know, every year I try to understand what they're doing, and they do it every time. They do it every time. It's like, please stop it.
Well, you know, Tony says something really important because I've been a baseball fan too, but I admit it. I soured on the sport. Tony loves baseball, and he makes his points for it. But the thing that bothers me now about baseball is something he said when he was talking to, I believe it was his nephew, about the Knicks. And he wanted to show them that the Knicks had played and won championships way back in the day. And I'm with that. But as I used to take my youngest daughter to baseball games, you know, she give fuck all about baseball now, other than the fact that she knows the Yankees are the evil empire. and we like the aspect of it.
Exactly.
But see, there's nothing else that gives baseball any flavor. I can appreciate some things, you know, but there's nothing that baseball gave me that says, okay, I'm looking forward to seeing the next game and the game after that, et cetera, et cetera. Like the last time I got really, really hyped about baseball was Doc Gooden's rookie year. And I was wondering, who is this kid pitching his ass off?
Oh,
you know,
man.
I remember the first time I saw Doc Gooden, I was like, oh, my goodness. Yeah. I'm talking about somebody really gets you excited. The fact that they had painted a mural of him, you know, looking like he was throwing Lord Charles down the plate and stuff like that. It was amazing. And the fact that he caught on the way he did was just awesome. But, right, the shadows.
First meeting, the All-Star game.
Yep.
Nobody can see the ball. That's how fast it's going.
Exactly. Yep. He was lighting it up. But
nobody can see the ball.
When you have that
crazy, All-Star game is San Francisco.
You're right, but when you have natural charisma like that, and all you're doing is throwing a ball, you got to wonder what else is going on within him. And, you know, Doc Gooden was amazing. If he had been allowed to bat left-handed like he was,
yeah,
Doc Gooden, he would have easily been a 300 hitter.
Yep.
I mean, you saw how easy he looked behind the plate and stuff like that. He wasn't some pitcher just flailing away and stuff.
No,
he didn't hit. And, of course, Gary Sheffield's one of his relatives, and we've seen Gary probably scared baseballs into getting hit.
Oh, man.
For the way he swings the bat. Oh. So
He gave me a hurry.
He gave me the bat, the baseball, and be like, I ain't going over there. Oh. That brother did not get cheated when he swung the bat.
No, he did not.
No, he did not.
Another brother who didn't get cheated was Barry Bonds after 1994 season.
Oh, you ain't lying.
Barry Bonds did something like that. I don't give anybody.
Mm-hmm.
That means that every time at bat, you only get one or two, maybe three pitches to hit.
That's right.
Of those three pitches, we'll go out of ballpark.
here's one for you, G. Okay. You're at the mound. Tony's the manager. And the bases are loaded. Bonds is coming up to bat.
Hold on.
Tony comes out to the mound. And you know what he's going to tell you. You know, I'm going to walk this motherfucker. And he's standing there at the plate. He's got the bat. He's looking at the ball. Even the ball is like, I want to go over there. So you and Tony, you have your little token conference. He walks back and he goes up and he's like, walk his ass. Now, can you imagine what it would have been like to be sitting at that park with Bonds coming up, with him hitting like he had been hitting, and all of a sudden you're thinking, are they going to pitch to Bonds? Well, if there were two men on base, you know they weren't going to pitch to him. So you think with three men on base, do they really want to pitch to him? And they showed you with an intentional walk. I mean, it's either the highest compliment or the greatest insult to your defense, because you figure if you walk him, all right, you're conceding that he's going to hit this ball somewhere. We don't want him to hit it out of the park, so we'll let that go. We'll allow one run in. And then you think, well, wait a minute. I'm supposed to challenge this guy. I'm the pitcher. And then your manager says, oh, no, you're not. You're not going to challenge him. Yankee Stadium has this very short left field fence, or right field fence, excuse me. And if you get the ball up in the air and it gets to the jet stream, then it will carry. And that fence is only like 310 feet and shit. So it's like, okay.
It's short.
But again, if you get the ball up in the air, it'll do some of the damage for you and it'll carry. So that has always been a staple of the stadium. If you were a left-handed hitter and all you needed to do is get the ball up in the air, problem solved. That's why Tino Martinez was so successful there. That's why Paul O'Neill was so successful there. They could get the ball up in the air, it's a home run instead of an out. You know, 20 feet more, it's an out. But no, it's a home run in Yankee Stadium. And that was a big difference. But there's little quirks like that that made baseball at least interesting, you know.
As the one thing I have to give kudos to baseball is that every ballpark is different. I do got to give the heads up on that, because in basketball, it's a square foot. If football is a square, it's a square field.
Right.
And hockey is the ice rink, so it's all equal. Oh. After the Boston Bruins moved out of that Ricky Dick Stadium, baseball has the one uniqueness of baseball I like in the different stadiums.
Well, you know, one thing that always kind of made me scratch my head. All right, you've seen Houston's field, right? Okay. Now, you know how that outfield is, where it looks like it just dips.
Go on that hill.
Yeah, okay, well, you know, like, why would you develop something like that? Now, I understand if you want to have strategic little corners where the ball hooks in and stuff like that. That's
right.
On a flat surface. Not
right.
In Houston. I've played center field, not at that level, but I know. If you're running center field, you've got to be able to run and not worry about whether you're running uphill.
They had to go up the hill.
So now in Houston, you got to do that. And it's like, how can you play consistently like that knowing that you got to chug upfield instead of just in a straight line? That would affect any pass.
They don't put the hill down.
Mm-hmm.
Not there. They built a brand new stadium, and
it's
not there.
It took it out.
Took them
long enough. But see, that's how long I have not given time to baseball because of the fact that they're doing something or they're not doing something that doesn't make it interesting for me anymore. Like you said, now see, now that's the aspect of the field that didn't bother me. Okay, so if you hit a foul ball in Oakland and you can run 5 miles and whatnot and still catch it before going to the stands, okay, you know, that's a fair quirk. You're not talking about people getting hurt because it's the same level. That's different, you know, so other than running uphill in the Houston center field. To have a baseball field that's cookie cutter, where you feel like you're playing in the same place no matter where you're going, that would be a bit boring, you know. But I think different stadia and different, you know, setups of how the stadium is laid out, that's cool. I don't mind that at all. I do mind that if you're going to do this, find the personnel that fits your stadium best.
Like
San Diego Stadium, they designed it because they wanted pitching and defense to be their stock and trade. They wanted to have a defense and strong
Dodgers.
Yeah, and strong pitching. So that's how you want to play. That's fine. You know your stadium. But there are stadiums like Yankee Stadium and Philadelphia. They're both band boxes. You know, you get it up in the air, you can hit a home run. You have the dumbbell go off and all that other stupid shit. But it doesn't change the fact that if that added up to people winning, then you'd be talking about them every year. Now, Boston just recently started a traditional winning because they had spent all those years losing. Philadelphia won once every now and then. And then the core of people would just dissipate. The Yankees.
WTN Chicago. It always surprised me how people running to that brick wall. I said, what are you doing to that brick wall? This is a mess, y'all.
But that's just it. You get caught up. You get caught up. So, of course, you're not thinking about it because you're thinking about the play at that time. But, yes, everybody may have uniqueness in some of the places where they play. But it doesn't matter if you don't find people that can work in that environment. You got to have time to go with the environment there. And some teams have it right, but more teams often than not don't. Full list of hires and fires yet. I'm still reeling from the Lincoln Riley madness, where this guy's going to get $110 million. Think about that, dude. I mean, $110 million. I think it adds up to almost.
And he gets a new house too for free.
Yeah, and a free house, which will be up to $6 million that they'll write off. So you're getting paid $20 million roughly a season. And you're getting a house, a free house, in pick the most luxurious area of Los Angeles that you can.
Of course.
And it's not costing you anything except to yell at a bunch of fucking kids trying to play with a fucking rottweiler with a pig skin. You know?
You know, Michael, this is what bothers me about this. They'll pay all these gazillion dollars to all these coaches.
Mm-hmm.
And you're telling me, we can't pay the players if you can't pay the players, why are you paying those coaches?
Well, that's what our brother talked, that's what Tony talked about. He said, wait a minute, this is payback for name licensing and image, because now the players have an option, although not the greatest option, because it's based on an individual, not a collective. They have it now. And how dare these people, as Reggie would say, how dare these people, you know, take advantage and actually get a chance to earn some money. We can't ignore all the cash that college football has taken in. Now, I don't know what the score is of the Cincinnati game or any other game or anything like that. It's just been that kind of day for me as I'm recovering from my
Fix is in. right there is because they do not want the University of Cincinnati in this playoff. And they
no, they don't want this. No.
Anything in the planet to get those guys out of there.
I don't give them green.
It's happened already.
What's the score?
Last night, the Utah Utes blew up the Oregon Ducks.
They cooked the
so
Ducks?
Bad, I couldn't get off the halftime.
Oh, my God. So the Utes roasted the Ducks. Okay.
Oh, yeah. They roasted
Damn, you should have broke the orange sauce out. But yeah, Jim, like you're saying though, it's like we've talked about this since the beginning of this thing. More corruption, more money. And if Cincinnati somehow got into this thing, there had to be several.
I know.
I'm just saying, if somehow they got into it, it would be a case of somebody knocking or breaking the kneecaps of a whole lot of officials if Cincinnati was somehow to squeeze into this playoff format. And I don't think they got a shot, and I agree with you when you say the fix is in. But they generated all this money, and fortunately, at least other than the kid that we found out about, nobody died from COVID.
No.
There's no proof to whether or not that's 100% bona fide yet. We just don't know about it.
Man, this is my scenario of what could happen.
Okay.
All right. Michigan plays Iowa today, right?
Right.
Georgia plays Alabama, right?
Okay, yep.
Oklahoma State plays Baylor. Baylor already started his match. Baylor won this morning.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be Oklahoma State. Let's put Oklahoma out. They're gone now.
Exactly.
Now, if Alabama beats Georgia,
mm-hmm.
which I doubt,
mm-hmm.
if they beat Georgia,
yep.
That puts that in the mix. If Iowa beats Michigan, which if they do, I know something's up.
Mm-hmm.
That means the whole thing from 1 through 6.
Yeah.
Messed up because now you can't say, well, the Bearcats didn't do so, all the other guys lost.
That's
they're
true.
In.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. But you gotta also remember, Michigan has everything to gain from this because Harbaugh had been trying to beat Ohio State.
Yes.
I think
yes.
This is the first year he beat them. So now they're in the driver's seat to get at least one of these spots as long as they hold serve against Iowa. Other than that, it's the SEC Invitational. And
right.
It's kind of built like that ever since they put it together.
And all of this could be over if you didn't beat the daddy, all of this is a mute point anyway. So it'll be a mute point if you didn't beat the daddy today.
It will be moot. Yes, it will be moot. You know, but Conference USA is not a tiger. You know, they're a pussycat compared to the rest of the conferences.
Yep.
So a Conference USA team really wouldn't have much clout at all. And the first thing they would say is strength of schedule and make some nebulous argument for whatever. So, yeah, we know all of that.
Well, it's going to be interesting. This is the first time in many, many years where I've paid attention to championship day. I can care less.
Well, you're right.
First time I paid attention because of the Bearcats and the Cincinnati.
You're right. And just like with a lot of other sports situations, the politics of it has gotten in the way of the game.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We already know they want a certain scenario. You pointed that out clearly. But
yes.
In other cases, it's like, why would I bother watching? It was like how I felt sometimes watching the NBA playoffs where LeBron James was playing. You know, it's like, okay, it wasn't even like that. It was worse for me. It was like, I want him to win, but what goes on in the circumstances leading up to it, that was the difference. You know, because we heard years of them berating this guy. And I was like, well, wait a minute. What the fuck did he do? He's a decent citizen. You know, he ain't the kind of cat that's going to get in trouble 2 o'clock in the morning with an 8-year-old in a motel, you know. And you're dogging him out like he's a fucking thug. And then when he tells you, kiss my black ass, there's a bunch of you motherfuckers I'll never speak to again. Sorry, Margaret. Then they'll say, oh, what's his problem? So, he's not the problem. The problem is what you want to be laid out as far as the scenario.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Again, I've said this several times. We don't think about white supremacy when it comes to games people play, like basketball and whatever. But we know it's always there. And how dare this one guy flourish in this when we're trying to befuddle it all. We want to keep the argument gray. We don't want to clear that this one guy can do all this and be a decent human being. You know, like they didn't have to worry about that with Jordan. They just said, in many ways,
Jordan was go out. Everybody had to worry about it.
We got the minister
of baseball, Andy McLean, the minister of baseball.
Uh-oh.
Can you say his
name?
Okay. Amen. Amen.
Tony.
I'm talking to you, gentlemen.
What's up, man?
Tony.
I'm thinking this week. You're not happy. I sort of got that vibe. I'm going to take the easy way out and just say I usually let's put it this way, put a gun in my head, give him 3 years to a guy over 35. I'm not crazy about it.
That
but,
is kind of funky.
Especially pitchers. You know, and look, the guy has, you know, we have the reputation and all this other stuff, but it's just their luck that all of a sudden, you know, he turns into Pete Falcone once he gets Flushing.
Mm-hmm.
But, I'm going to wait and see because apparently there are other moves, but again, everything's on hold because, basically both sides want to do, you know, one for me, one for you, two for me, and one, two for you, three for you, and one, two, three for me. So we gotta,
until they,
yep, yes, sir.
This drink is the worst thing that can ever happen. I think it's the worst thing that ever happened. Because you are in last place with the four majors won. You're in last place, and if you don't watch out, Zucker's gonna get you.
Well, here's the thing, and this is the one thing that I've been consistent with this. You are coming off of one of the lowest rated World Series in quite a while, even though on the field it was a good product. It was a very good playoff this year.
Mm-hmm. But
as we invoke the Buck Sisters again.
And Dodger race, they don't ignore that race.
Yeah. It's the thing is, I think, I don't know if you guys feel the same way, for the first time in a while, we've got some good young teams that look like they're ready to turn the corner.
Even
with the defections in Toronto, you know, losing Simeon is a big loss. But still, you still got Vlad, and you still have the other, you know, sons of former major leaguers that are there. So they're doing something. And even with all the bad karma, I'm still not ready to give up on the Padres quite yet. They've just got to find their way more than anything else.
They got a manager now. I think this guy is going to be a big difference in San Diego.
Well, see, I truly think, you know, as the phrase the kids use, they were smelling their own shit this year. And unfortunately, it was more shit than smelling because they basically thought they just had to show up and, you know, they were like, now, losing Tatis the way that they did various times this year did not help. But look, going into the year, I still felt like you still had to prove that you could beat the Dodgers.
Right.
But a funny thing happened along the way. They couldn't beat the damn Giants.
Right. And right.
Mm-hmm.
The Padres, I knew they were in trouble. This summer. When they got 9 games behind, I said, okay, now what are you going to do now? I knew they were in trouble.
Well, you know, in many ways, the die was set early because, you know, they had a bunch of games with the Dodgers early, and the Dodgers did what the Dodgers, basically it was hammer, nail, you know, mm-hmm. game, set, and match. So look, I'm not willing to give up on them, but they have to regroup. They definitely have to regroup. Now, I don't think it was all the manager's fault, but of course, in this day and age, when the team sucks, automatically it's like, you know, the manager goes. You know, we see, you know, you mentioned the Mets. Rivera, you know, I'm sorry, Rojas had to go. But what's kind of bothersome is that the two names that are being thrown around are Brad Ausmus and Buck Showalter.
Oh, God.
Oh, boy. Oh.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, I'm not to change subject, but it's a beautiful scene seeing 55,000 black folks, man, when Jackson just returned a 90-yard kickoff return, man.
You saw
the boys digging and jamming, but, of course, Negro missed the extra point. And I'm like, only in the HBCU.
Was it truly a Negro that missed the extra point, or was it just a...
Could have been an immigrant. That's right.
Hey, are you going to He's still considered African, whether he wants to or not.
Okay. So they got a full house in Jackson. What's the score, by the way?
Over 50,000. But I gotta say, Coach Wilson, man, he just ran into a buzzsaw, man. There's been between HBCU schools and schools like Valdosta that's been there and done it before, man. And I just say hats off to Bowie State, man, and Coach Wilson for a hell of a year, but
they played a really good first quarter. But after the first quarter, they got blew out.
Valdosta State's a beast. They've been a beast for years. And it was going to take a lot for them to pull it off, but they've got nothing to be ashamed of. Yeah. They've made it to the Elite Eight for the first time
First time ever. And like you said, Coach Wilson, you know, I remember now, to his credit, Coach Wilson wasn't one of those ones that, you know, that played the crying game when Winston came back to the CIAA. They basically shut their mouths and went out and just said, okay, let's, you know, instead of joining them, let's beat their ass. And they've been the dominant team in the CIAA since then.
Yep. Yeah, 3 years in a row. And back in the day when Winston was kicking ass, taking names, they had, you know, the illustrious Coach Bill Hayes that was getting the revenue in. And see, the running state and registered, and again, I know you guys are talking baseball. I didn't mean to change the subject. But the problem is that a lot of this money that's infused in the HBCUs by the billionaires, how much is that really going to athletics? See, that's the problem.
I'm glad you brought that up. I got a letter from SIU today, and there is an alumni who gave them $5 million. I think you gotta be kidding.
That's chump change. That's chump change, Gary. That's pocket money.
No, but I think okay. So I'm not. See, this is the thing, Reg. Alumni is your backbone to some of the things.
Supposed
you
to
look
be.
At
but can I tell you something, Gary?
But Gary,
I hate to bust your bubble, but some HBCUs, you can't mistreat the people and expect them to get money back.
I understand that.
You know, and that happens at a lot of HBCUs, especially graduation, where all of a sudden, oh, you got a $5,000 debt. Now, you can't get your sheepskin. Oh, no, we got this issue. And then you had to go by act of Congress to clear it up. I mean, we heard these horror stories at a lot of
HBCUs. Look, if I would have graduated.
I know, but they didn't have handicaps.
I had to go to study Illinois.
But that's what you
did. 5 years, I gave SIU X number of dollars. I said, wait a minute. I'm a cowboy.
But see, Gary, you gave them X amount of dollars, but see, unfortunately, they wanted XXX amount of dollars, unfortunately.
Thank you. Yeah, they want to add the X's to it.
Yeah. You're missing a few X-Men there for them. So that's the reason why.
Yeah, that's why the Europeans have a certain stats level. They say, yeah, we don't mind you guys running up and down the field and picking cotton and picking that money to 100,000 people. But, oh, no, don't you dare ask to be a head coach or the face of the school. We can't have that.
I also think that Notre Dame, they did a very smart thing this week.
They listened to their players, and that could be, you know, that could be in it. That could wind up being an impetus for them. Because look,
you think
the thing that Notre Dame and their fans have to realize is that they're playing on reputation now.
Yep,
they're playing on reputation. Yes, they're gonna generate a certain amount of money and they're gonna generate a certain amount of attention. But when it comes to winning games, well, that's another thing. But maybe, you know. Let's put it this way. I'm like Reggie. I want to see what kind of a chance they're willing to give him. Now, the one thing that he has going for him that possibly Ty Willingham did not have going for him, the players want him. I don't know if you guys saw the video of when it was officially got the job.
No,
and
I
the players went nuts.
And see, look,
that's huge. That's huge that he's got that influence. And, you know, he's on of anything, and everything he does is going to be watched. When he scratches his butt, a green guy in South Bend is going to itch. So
every time he farts, see, they're going to know what flavor it is. They're going to be so popular.
Sure. And if it is the Shamrock Shake flavor, they're going to be pissed.
Yes, sir. What do you say, Michael? They're going to be, oh, molasses. Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
Did you see the interview with Kevin going to LSU when he first introduced himself to LSU?
Yeah, apparently, well, you know what I find interesting? I remember we were talking about comparison of when Kelly got the head coach job and he told everybody in Cincinnati it's been a slice, I'm getting the fuck out of here. And then he goes and does it again.
He does the same thing. And then says players play and coaches. Now your ass get paid.
And Mike, apparently he's been getting speaking lessons from Jed Clampett because now all of a sudden
Next thing you know, when he gets in front of that podium, he's going to sign that contract and he'll say to the public, Quinn Douglas.
Long living is a place to be. Get that money and get on out of here.
That's crazy.
He's going to be picking a banjo soon. You watch him halftime. He's
going
to be
picking
a banjo.
He's just going to hope he's not picking and grinning. That's all I'm saying.
That's right. His nickname going to be Deliverance.
He's going to win the SEC. I don't see him for at least 5 years.
Well, his whole hook during his whole career has been that he's been a very good recruiter. So now we're going to see how good a recruiter he truly is. Now, LSU is going to get a certain amount of players strictly because they're LSU and they're in the SEC. But they're still going to, the results are still going to have to be out there because, truth be told, Edgerton was getting good players as well, but they weren't, to be honest with you, I think it was more of the off-the-field stuff. I mean, the field stuff had a lot to do with it, but I think a lot of it had to do with the off-the-field stuff with him, to be quite honest. And they just, and the fact that they had to went from national champion to national embarrassment had a lot to do with why, he had to redo his resume again. But here's the thing. If he wants to, he'll be able to resurface again. If that's a black kid, he's going to have to do black time in the sense of he may have to go 4 or 5 years before he even gets an assistant job.
Yeah.
Son, he ain't going to do black time. He got to do Negro time because they got to make sure that they approve him. They got to put their hands on him. They got to make sure that he clears waivers.
The thing is, we talk about the Rooney Rule and everything with the NFL, but it's so much worse than college football. That's why seeing what's happening with Freeman and Notre Dame is going to be interesting, and also to see Mel Tucker, get his coin down in East Lansing.
Yeah, but you know what? I don't give a mother Tucker whether or not he gets his money or the cat in Notre Dame gets his money. I want the kids to get their money. The long-standing issue has always been these kids are de facto employees. They should be afforded the same perks as anyone working for any other corporation, which means meals, travel allowances, things like vouchers. So if they have to fly home to see their girl or their parents or whatever not, they get to a year. What's wrong with that? You're making shitloads of money. And if we have to individualize this, I again use Reggie Bush as an example. Reggie Bush played for Southern Cal, and there were people out there Saturdays who had his number 5 jersey on. And if we were to go into the
Michael,
and count,
Michigan, there's no jersey to jersey Michigan.
I was gonna go there, G, but you get my point. All this revenue, just from an individual standpoint, that Reggie Bush earned the school, he should have been liable or should have been rewarded with a percentage of it. You know, like when you sell stuff and you get a commission. If Reggie Bush got, say, a 0.5 commission on every jersey he sold at Southern Cal, you wouldn't have to spend $350,000 to his mama to buy a house. He could have bought the damn house himself. And nobody would say, well, he's a disgrace to college football and you should turn in your award. Fuck you. Who are you to say this shit?
I need to get that award back to him, man. Stop playing.
Yeah. This is crap. And the NIL thing is definitely going to have backlash. They don't want this. If it was just a kid here and a kid there, I don't think anybody would get riled about it. But they're mad that these kids are getting anything. That's what bugs me. How could you begrudge these kids anything when they're making money for you?
The Weber thing drives me nuts. Mm-hmm. I go to the University of Michigan. I can buy a Weber jersey. You don't get it done.
Oh, sure. I'm sure if you go to Texas A&M, you can still get a Johnny Foosball jersey as well. Yeah. So it's nuts. It's nuts. But
nobody considers Johnny Football a pariah. You know, he was their white boy. They went crazy for him, and he had the balls to challenge him. It's like, yeah, go ahead, punish me. Me and my rich white pop will take you to court, and we'll change the whole rulings on all these shits because we know what the game is. And yeah, little Johnny, you can't play for the first quarter for being bad Johnny. You know, Okay, now everything is all right. Bullshit.
That shit is so funny. What do you say, Mike? Bad little Johnny, bad boy.
That's right.
Yeah. Following a blue down and get the corner.
But they suspend Dexter Bryant for a whole fucking year for a cheeseburger. Are you fucking kidding me?
White privilege, man. White privilege.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Alabama 24, Georgia 17.
24-17.
They went after one of their favorite whipping boys, Antonio Brown.
So Antonio Brown, who was the third one, Tony? Because you got Antonio Brown. We know there was Amari Cooper from Thanksgiving Day with
the
Raiders.
I forget who the third player was for Tampa. It was three players from Tampa.
Oh, three from Tampa. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Amari Cooper just missed the game due to COVID. He didn't get suspended or anything like that. But, yeah, they suspended Brown for 3 games. Now,
when your chef drop a dime on you, man, come on. You supposed to break in the circle. They ain't supposed to drop a dime on you. Come on, man.
He dropped a couple of quarters and a couple of bills or two in regards to this.
Hey, all I say is, Brown, don't pick up no soap around your shelf.
Now, this, you know, the good news is that this may hopefully derail Tampa Bay a little bit, because I'm getting that vibe that they want to do a Patriots Super Bowl this year.
Yep.
Oh, I've been thinking that.
Oh, Lord.
But guys, there's one problem. He got that bad man's in Kansas City. They're playing quarterback. He got something to say about it. I don't see nobody, including Buffalo, to do anything.
Yep.
Well, Gary, don't worry. It ain't going to happen, Gary. I guarantee you, them people in Kansas City
Couldn't
say
it. My yearly plan basically comes down to, do I want to do the Three Stooges or do I want to do Batman? So I'm going to do one or the other.
Yeah.
I read a report that a lot of guys won that Super Bowl. I said, hell no.
Well, you know, yeah. Don't worry, man. I guarantee you, you won't see that. And I guarantee you one thing else, man. That rookie quarterback, come playoff time, rookie is going to show up. He's been getting away right now, but hold your ammo when the playoffs come.
I think whatever the odds were on New England, because now we got to go back to the money of this. Whatever the odds were on New England at the beginning of the season, that's going to change how all this works. Mm-hmm. Because you got to look at divisional odds, you got to look at conference odds, and then you got to look at Super Bowl odds, because they all fluctuate. Now, New England was a 20-1 to get into the playoffs. And if they got in, they would be less than that because of General Jackson and General Mahomes. But if they get past these two hurdles, then you've got the setup they want, because, as you say, the fix will be in, and they will set this shit up for Brady.
Well, if they get in, with the Patriots, if they get in, it's not going to be like before, where the road to the Super Bowl goes through Foxborough.
Right.
May get a wild card game depending on how the division plays out. The next 2 weeks, they play the Bills. I think two of the next four games, so that'll decide it. But yeah, I think.
The Bills won't do it either, because right now Baltimore is 8-3. All right, they've pretty much passed most of the hurdle, although they will have to play Pittsburgh twice in the last 4 weeks or so. And they always have tongue wars with Pittsburgh. But in the other league, you got St. Louis. Kyler Murray's coming back. They're 9-2. So Kyler Murray and Phoenix are setting
Arizona.
For them to benefit most from this. The only wild card in all of this is Mahomes back in Kansas City. If they fixed everything, then they should have a clear path, and they'll probably be 12-5 or 13-4 by the time the smoke clears.
Here's the crazy thing. Mm-hmm. Now, Sunday night, they play Denver.
Right.
Now, Denver has been, Denver has been literally the roller coaster team of the NFL. And wouldn't it be interesting to see, Teddy ball game go in there and steal a win in Kansas City late in the year? I don't see it, but it would be interesting if they were to be able, because that would put them, warts and all, it would put them in first place in that division.
That's right.
So, we'll see. And remember, because this is the biggest season ever. Everybody still, I think, what is it, 23 of the 24, 20, 23 of the 32 teams still mathematically have a shot at it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's right. I will say this on Sunday.
Even by New York Midgets.
Gary, I'll say this. On Sunday night, you'll be looking at two of the best tight ends in the game with Kelce and Tim Patrick from the Denver Broncos. A lot of people don't know who Tim Patrick is, and I think the way that Teddy has been using him, he's finally shown everybody what he can do. I think it'll be a wild. Actually, I don't think it's going to be the first. It's going to be a wide open game. It really will be. And Teddy
and
New York Mahomes
Giants in Miami. And 3 weeks ago, I didn't believe New York Giants would be the game. Here they are back in. What's going on, New York?
Well, the real surprise maybe the other team on the other side. You know,
that's right.
They've won four. You know, since the Deshaun Watson trade was denied. Stopped,
Miami was 1-7.
What have you? After going 1-7, they've won. What is it? Four straight? Five straight?
Four straight. And Brian Flores is showing everybody why they had faith in him in the first place.
Yeah,
sure.
Because
sure.
They could have buried him 1-7, but obviously somebody knew something, because you can always tell when buzz comes out about a coach or a player. It's the amount of, like in Philadelphia, they are still lambasting Jalen Hurts. And it didn't care that they had gotten close enough to get to 500. They tore him as soon as the opportunity came. With Flores, that hadn't happened. Remember, he lost in Great Britain over there on the last play of the game. And Miami, for whatever reason they did, they stayed the course with him. And now, I'm assuming they will beat the team on Sunday. Miami will be 6-7. If they come all the way back to 500 and end up with a winning season, that speaks volumes for Coach Flores. And they will trust him in whatever system he's running, whether it's with Tagovailoa or whomever.
Well, I think that's the thing. They finally just, you know, whether you like him or not, they've never really embraced. To me, they never have really embraced. So I think finally for one now, it's like, okay, you're the guy. You know, they brought in, Fitzpatrick and all these other cats, and the Jacoby Brissett this year as well. He's never really, even though he was their franchise guy, and basically half of South Beach was ready to trade him after midseason this year. So, good for the both of them. And oh, by the way, Flores is like 16-7 career in like November and December.
Yeah, I'm
so
glad you said that, because if we remember from the calendar itself, the one coach who was most effective during crunch time was my man in Minnesota. Brother man up in Minnesota, Dennis Green, always took care of business in December. Because whenever he had to face his in-house opponents, he whooped their ass. Whether it's with or without Randy Moss, with or without Warren Moon, Green's teams were always prepared to win, and they did. Now, maybe they didn't get as far as they should have gotten, in my humble, but he knew what he had to deal with, and he was ready. And they were always better prepared than the rest of their rivals in that division.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, it's actually, these next few weeks are actually, now that we've endured the first 82 weeks of the season, now the next 56 are going to be pretty decent.
It is.
don't get the COVID-19 factor. A lot of people won't start dropping their plans.
Well, it's been a factor, but it hasn't been as much of a factor as it was last year, because for the most part, last year by this time they had already played games on every day of the week. This year, so far, there have been teams and players, but not as many games. They basically said, come hell or vaccine, they were going to play. They were going to play games this year. They weren't going to, they weren't going to forfeit teams, but they were going to be like, hey, you have, everybody was going to be treated like Denver was last year when they had to go with their eighth string quarterback.
That's right. So what happened?
We got three Bill General games this week.
Yes.
One is Dallas at New Orleans, Arizona at Chicago, and Denver at Kansas City.
Well, we saw Dallas and New Orleans earlier. Kansas City and Denver should be a good one with General Bridgewater and General Mahomes. I'm looking forward to that.
I'm
looking for KC to blow their doors off, man. The Denver defense has started to drop. They were good at one time, but they're starting to give up a whole lot of big plays. That game's at KC, ain't it?
Yeah, Kansas City.
Man, I love Teddy, but that crowd and that noise is going to rattle, man. I mean, it rattles the best.
They're going to get on a roll. This is the kind of field general game where General Bridgewater must marshal his troops and say, "You fuck this Kansas City. It's about damn whoop their ass."
I didn't see that crowd effect. The best of quarterbacks. Nothing against General Bridgewater, but it's a home field advantage. And they just don't have the horses. You know, Denver don't have the horses.
It's gonna be tough, but again, that's why they went into Dallas and beat Dallas. They beat the anointed Chargers last week.
Yep,
so
they did. Anything can happen.
Mm-hmm.
What happened to the Chargers?
Everybody caught up to him. They got a rookie.
See, it was so easy to just put this all on Anthony Lynn, and this guy, this guy has gotten the Sean McVay treatment of he's the greatest thing, he's the greatest gift to coaching. But I don't see it. So far, I don't see it. And if anything, as good as Herbert has been, Herbert sort of took a step backward this year.
He has taken a step backward. And they don't call it no sophomore jinx bullshit either. Listen, he fell into the same bad habit that his predecessor fell into. He's got tall receivers. And I would imagine that Los Angeles / San Diego has the tallest receivers in their starting core. I think the shortest one is 6'3", Keenan Allen.
Mm-hmm.
So he's had this mindset of I have an advantage at every position except for running back with Eckler being small. But all my guys should be able to outfight everybody else that goes up against them, which is why he was able to play as well as he did. I mean, he's got talent. He used the talent. He's supposed to. But it has caught up to him. And, yes, now he's running into situations where it looked like he would handle it, and now it's handling him. So Justin Herbert is going to have to take a step back and recoil and recover in time for the playoffs. I don't know if he'll do that.
They was kissing his ass too much, and Stephen A. Smith and all these mouth jockeys were talking about how good he was coming out the gate. But last time I checked, football is a marathon, not a sprint. And now we're starting to see a lot of teams fall back to the pack.
Well, see, we know some of these cats can play, and nobody said that Herb couldn't play. All we're saying is that, let's wait and see. Let's see this thing form. And that's why the Jalen Hurts thing is so bothersome to Philly. Philly already eats up their young. If he was a white quarterback, they'd have been sucking his dick. But because he's black, they give him all kinds of grief and whatnot. Oh, maybe he's not the long-term solution and blah, blah, blah. Oh, please.
Hey, Coach Taylor. All right, yeah. Coach Taylor in the room. Sorry, guys. They were showing the selection committee. I said, oh, Coach Taylor.
HBCU news. Deion Sanders is coach of the year.
And he deserves it. Much respect to Coach Sanders. And I like that. Call him by his name when he's winning like that because
that's right.
Coach Sanders.
But the Prairie View credit, they're putting up a hell of a fight right now. They're shooting themselves in the foot, but Prairie View ain't backing down. And I like that.
Ass. You're supposed to do that shit.
It's
13-10
at halftime.
All right.
Oh, okay.
Okay, good, good. I was going to be able to catch the second half.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, gentlemen. Let's go, Bronco. When you guys are ready.
I'm just going to say we in for a hell of a ride, as we talked about on Mike's show Wednesday. Democrats, get your act together. I'm sick and tired of you guys walking around with your thumb up your butt, come acting around that you're supposed to be helping the people, but hell, you can't even agree on policy. Only thing I do to Joe Manchin and that other bitch on Democrats, I tell them, look, you want this infrastructure money, you're going to pass the John Lewis Act and the police reform. If you don't, you ain't getting that one damn.
There you go.
So all you got to do. That's what Johnson did to get the Civil Rights Bill. You know, come on, President Biden. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. The wheel's already been invented. Get off the ass. Do the damn job.
There you go.
Thank you, man.
Oh, does that mean I get to date Angela Bassett too?
There you go.
Hey. What does love got to do with it?
Sounds fine with me.
Hey, Tony, you can date her with that police uniform. She got handcuffs.
I'll do. I wouldn't mind joining the chain gang if she's there. I can definitely
go with that.
Hopefully, by the time we have our next show, we can be talking about Dick Allen and Gil Hodges with the moniker Hall of Famers at the end of their names.
Exactly.
Thank you very much. Take care, guys.
Well, listen. Long live the evil empire, as far as I'm concerned. Right or wrong, this is still my boy. But we need flavor like that and more. We need more flavor like that in all the baseball. And we're not going to get it if they continue to do what they're doing. It'll be interesting to see what the union does. If they lock shit out, it's going to affect a lot of so-called fans. And they ain't going to be as many as they thought when the smoke clears. So I'd keep an eye on that if they were them, and I'd have them check themselves and their egos at the door when they get down to this negotiation and stuff. And, of course, tomorrow evening, the Music Therapy Mindstream will be doing our thing as we always do. And, of course, now it's December, so the backdoor Santa might be coming your way very soon. Ho, ho, ho. So, everybody enjoy.
And Dr. Evil, let a brother know when you ain't on Saturday, brother. I'm driving down the road looking for the show.
We had a special event to attend to today. That's why. But anyway, we'll be back Sunday night at 9 o'clock. Everybody, if you're working and you got travel, please, want you to get from A to B and back to A. Okay. See you at 9 tomorrow night.
Thank you, my brother.
All right, brother.
All right, I got last words. Jackson's Day plays very few. This is what we're about. This is what BASS is about. I don't care who wins this game, Jacksonville State or Braves. This is always a good game.
Exactly.
It should be on TV, but I can't find it. That's the way it's been.
Mm-hmm.
See you guys next week. Same bad time.
All right.
Same bad station.
Chris, come on. Just got fired from CNN. Breaking news.
What'd you say?
Chris Cuomo just got fired from CNN.
You knew it was going to happen.
It's like what did he do stupid this time? What did he do this time?
It wasn't him. It was his uncle.
But his brother, that's why he got fired.
Yeah, it was his uncle.
Oh, well, hey, his ass is gone.
Mm-hmm.
He can go to Fox like the rest of the rejects.
Yep.
Oh, there you go.
All right, guys. Get to this week.
Okay.
Stay safe and be safe.